There hasn't been a lot of research on online home sharing and its implications for local neighbourhoods and housing markets in Australia, let alone internationally. And one of the reasons for this is that it's a phenomenon that's grown very, very rapidly. We've had short-term holiday rentals for many, many years. In fact, probably almost a century. But what's made what's often called the Airbnb phenomenon so fascinating and challenging is the rapid growth enabled by online technology, which allows people who are almost anywhere to identify places to stay almost anywhere. And using a social media platform also helps people overcome the natural and understandable aversion that probably all of us felt even 5 or 6 years ago about staying in what was once thought to be a stranger's home, or indeed having a stranger stay in our home. But within a very rapid period of time, less than 7 years really, Airbnb listings alone, and Airbnb is certainly not the only platform for online visitor accommodation, within a very short period of time, the Airbnb phenomenon has grown to exceed the world's largest hotel chains. And we can understand what we're describing as online home sharing, short-term home sharing, holiday home sharing, as part of a wider set of practices known as the sharing economy, where you borrow, or more accurately rent, rather than buy or own. And you can do that with any number of commodities and things and spaces. But what's so fascinating from a housing and urban policy perspective is that sharing someone's home is quite different to sharing someone's bike or renting someone's lawnmower when they don't need it. And the phenomenon opens up very interesting possibilities for housing systems and for urban systems, and it helps us overcome some problems that we have in terms of the inflexibility that we have with our existing homes and infrastructure, and allows us to very flexibly and rapidly release space and accommodation in response to changes in demand, and to release that space in ways that are instant but also aren't permanent. And so that creates new markets, which are often positive, and new opportunities, which are often positive, but it's occurring within a wider phenomenon of global travel, global population movements, but also increased demand for housing, increased financial demand for housing, and the trend to homes becoming a fungible financial asset rather than simply a place to live in. And the front line of this phenomenon, of course, is felt at the local level, and we see very, very polarising debates, grassroots debates overseas and to some extent in Australia, where we've got local communities who feel overcome by waves of tourists, of rolling suitcases along footpaths, but also hosts who feel very passionately about the opportunity to host, and feel that rather than pushing locals out of their homes, hosting allows people to afford to stay in gentrifying communities. So very polarised debates, covered by salacious media coverage, it has to be said, and almost no systematic independent academic research. And at the front line, of course, is urban planners and local governments who, in the first instance, have to consider what we always consider as planners. Are there any health or safety issues arising from sort of unregulated visitor accommodation? But also how we balance very important private property rights against public externalities. Those are impacts that arise from private activities that are spread more widely. And indeed, whether there is really anything specifically different associated with people living, sleeping, you know, cooking meals, etc., whether it's different because a tourist is doing it rather than a long-term resident. where local governments have spatial strategies that aim to cluster where tourism occurs or that aim to preserve affordable housing, there are also spatial strategies that might be challenged by online home sharing. But even if from a planning perspective there was a policy position that this is an activity that wasn't supported or that was incompatible with local planning policies, there's always the question of how you detect home sharing and decide that it's commercial rather than just a family that has a lot of visitors or a lot of relatives, and how you enforce any regulations if indeed you have them. And against all of that is this evidence vacuum of independent, systematic research and also data that's not been so far provided by online platforms such as Airbnb and similar providers. Peter and I have written what we think is the first peer-reviewed planning article on the implications of online home sharing for neighbourhoods and particularly for housing markets. There has been a very interesting body of tourism research and also legal research, but of course this is a rapidly growing and changing phenomenon and much more research is needed and is underway. The central question from an urban planning and urban policy, but particularly planning and regulation point of view, is whether online home sharing, short-term visitor accommodation, whether that equates to existing activities such as bed and breakfast or visitor tourist accommodation, holiday rentals, or whether it constitutes something new or different. And whether we're looking to regulate the activities, and if we're looking to regulate activities, as I said, we're talking about people using homes in ways that are kind of indistinguishable to how local people use homes, or whether there's something about the people, the tourists, the fact that they're short-term, or about the intensity or the duration of the use and therefore the likely impacts, and that we need to consider regulating from a planning perspective. And much of that will depend on the neighbourhood context, on the housing market context, on the availability of other types of accommodation, historical homes, but also the housing types. And we see, certainly in Sydney, much more concern when we're talking about home sharing occurring in high density environments, and we've moved very rapidly in Sydney towards densification. Yet for planners, of course, high density living raises a number of issues around private property and where public planning can intervene. Just looking at the spatial geography and the breakdown of online home listings, we see almost a 50-50 split between whole homes being used, being listed for Airbnb, but less than half of the whole home listings are actually regarded to be frequently available. And then the balance is rooms and shared rooms. And from a planning perspective, it's often thought that shared rooms or hosted accommodation present less risks for neighbourhoods because guests should behave better when the hosts are present, and less housing policy concerns because hosted accommodation isn't competing with permanent housing. But how might we measure the impacts? Of course, we need to trace listings and the composition of listings. Perhaps, and some jurisdictions choose to record and act on neighbour complaints. Perhaps it's a matter of looking for suspicious suitcases and, you know, investigating whether they're tourists or, you know, residents who are dedicated public transport users. It becomes very, very difficult. And so even jurisdictions that have decided to regulate online home sharing because they think it's inconsistent with planning strategies, detection and enforcement has proved almost impossible without cooperation by providers such as Airbnb. Identifying housing market impacts are just as complex because we know that housing markets are affected by all types of demand factors, and certainly the Sydney housing market is affected by chronic housing affordability pressures way before Airbnb came on the scene. But it's often argued that Airbnb because it is such a small proportion of a total housing stock anywhere, not just in Australia, and in fact Sydney has some of the highest Airbnb listings of any city in the world. But even so, as a proportion of Sydney's housing stock, Airbnb listings only make up about 1.5% of the total housing stock. So it's often argued, even by housing market analysts, that this will have no impact on housing markets. The proper indicator when we're trying to understand whether Airbnb listings might compete with permanent rental accommodation is to look at rental vacancy rates. There, the story is quite different. It's by no means definitive. But if we look, for instance, at the rental vacancy rate of Greater Sydney, which is the proportion of the rental stock which is available to be rented at any point in time, which is nearly 2%, so it's a very tight vacancy rate, we can see that Airbnb listings, and here I'm only talking about the Airbnb listings of whole homes that are regarded by the website Inside Airbnb to be frequently available. So these are homes that may or may not be, it's contestable, but that in the absence of any other evidence, we could say these homes could be regarded as being permanently taken out of the potential rental supply. And we can see that that amounts to over two-thirds of Sydney's rental vacancy rate. And that is a reason to look and see further if online home sharing is impacting on housing supply and affordability. Then when we look at specific jurisdictions, the City of Sydney, Waverley, for instance, we can see that the impacts on rental supply and then long-term on rents, on risks of displacement and also ultimately on house prices as well, that they may be significant. Of course, this is something that I'm only looking at a particular point in time. We need to monitor this, but there is some evidence to say that there could be housing affordability impacts. But on the other hand, is online home sharing helping residents meet their own housing costs? And again, there is some evidence to say that, yes, it may do, and I think people would also be aware of anecdotal evidence to support that as well. So here we looked at median rents and median mortgages in different parts of Sydney, and we also looked at the best available data, which is to say there's not very much data, but the best available data on monthly incomes extracted by hosts. And there you can see that the income does amount to something nearing 20% of household housing costs. So that's not insignificant. Is Airbnb or online home sharing going to be an affordability solution for Sydney? Well, maybe a niche one at the very most, because of course such a small proportion of households are doing this, in particular housing markets, and only households who have spare space and of course presumably who also have spare space that's photogenic and, you know, is marketable. And generally those households are not the households that we are most worried about in terms of housing affordability, but that's not to say that this is a practice that is not significant and important for the hosts who are involved. So I will leave it by saying that online home sharing platforms are exposing and exacerbating underlying housing system problems that we have not addressed in Sydney. Particularly our shortage of affordable rental housing. And we need to be serious about that problem, I think, almost before we look at issues like Airbnb. But may also be exposing some problems that we weren't so aware of, and those are the conflicts potentially between local residents and visitors. We need an evidence base to inform our urban policy intervention, and certainly some tools to inform the market problems that are emerging and that are chronic overall with our housing system. But also, I think Airbnb is exposing some questions about recent urban design and housing design that we also need to examine. But particularly, we need to examine the local neighbourhood impacts in specific communities and the housing impacts of online home sharing activities.